It is dialing, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey.
Let's go, sleeping? Steve Rogers.
Yes, Steve Rogers. Are we here to talk about 40s music?
Yes.
And Convergence. That's why I came.
We're here to talk about 20s music and...
I don't know 20s music. I'm going backwards in time.
You're going backwards.
I was in the 70s and 60s, and now in the Barb 50s said and the 40s.
She freezes.
Damn, my
you.
Woman was so loud. I had to close the fucking door. Sorry.
Barb said what?
She freezes you through time. Like, she freezes you and wakes you up later on.
That's right.
That's right. So you're a super soldier. So let's do this.
Yeah, I was with my Howling Commandos, but they weren't doing as well.
They didn't get frozen. They didn't get frozen like you did.
I was with my Howling Commandos last night.
Yeah. Doing their boogie woogie woogie music.
You hear that? You hear that? Mike, you hear that music? You hear that?
He's going crazy.
I think that's Glenn Miller.
Glenn Miller band. Woo!
Oh, no. I don't even know who that is.
Not Steve Miller. Glenn Miller, right?
I don't know who that is.
That's why I showed up, just so we could have some good intro music.
Oh, Lord.
I can hear it.
I think I'm going to sleep now. I can't take it.
Well, you have to dance, Daryl. Dance.
I'm not dancing.
Well, this is episode 37, and we're talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about Bloodshot and Imperium, right?
The Justice Riders from Elseworlds DC Comics.
What did you buy? Yeah, what was that the Western stuff?
That was the Western stuff from Convergence, yeah.
Would you stop talking about DC Comics during Valiant Podcast? That's not in the contract.
It looks awesome. It's J.H. Williams III on art. Chuck Dixon. Oh, you like Lord. Chuck Dixon, right?
Yes, he does.
Yes, I do, but this is not that time.
I know you don't care about it too much, but the numbers came out today. Some came out that it looks like the initial orders of Bloodshot number one were 45,000.
When are you going to release this? When the second number comes out?
This will be released this week.
Sunday.
This will be released. What is today? Today's Thursday. I'm taking the DC Noise approach. Mike.
All right, I like this.
I'm going to slap some shit on the front.
There you go.
And the back.
Slap some shit on the back.
Slap some shit up the ass.
There you go.
That's right. Spank it.
Yeah. And just put it out.
And then we put it out on Sunday.
That's right. This is a little bit inside baseball, but you know, the 45,000 units, I think it's safe to say, Daryl, we know that there was a substantial discount given to people ordering that. So the real test will be issue two.
Yeah.
The real test is 3 and 4, because then you start to stabilize. You don't even stabilize in 2. 2 is usually dropped by 50%. So if you got 45, it'll be in the 20s next time. I guarantee it, because what happens is realtors take a chance with issue 1s.
Realtors?
Yeah, they sell houses.
Is that what Bill Ballmer does? Is that what he is? He's a realtor because he only buys the issue ones.
He eats half a burrito now. What the fuck? And he throws it in people's trash cans. What the fuck?
I'm gonna punch him in the face.
And then they come in the next day. They come in the next day and their cube stinks. What the hell?
Punch him in the face.
You don't throw away food in office buildings in the little regular garbage. You go to the kitchen.
I'm gonna make dust out of his burrito and stick it up his ass.
So I saw a poster on the fridge at work today in the kitchen, and it said
Livewire saying
It had a bunch of donuts. I'm like, oh, I like this.
Did you eat this
poster? And they were good looking donuts. They looked all flaky and fatty and just good.
And then it says, "You fat ass," right?
And then two things. One was, this is a Weight Watchers ad.
What?
And two, most of the donuts were cut in half, and I couldn't help but think of
Bill. Oh, you fuckers.
It's like, first of all, they're shitty donuts because they're Weight Watchers donuts, and they're still cut in half.
Well, I want to know this from our listeners. Who the fuck cuts the donut in half and eats only half? How can you do that?
If you're sharing a third one, if
there's
you're sharing,
listeners that listen, you buy more than besides one donut, Bill Bomer, I know Bill does this.
Yeah.
He cuts it into quarters sometimes. He's an asshole.
That bastard.
You know how I cut my donut into quarters, Mike? By taking a bite of a fourth of the donut.
That's right.
That's right. You go right in my mouth.
Yeah, I do at least 3/8 of a donut in every bite.
Just 3/8.
Especially on a coffee day, on a good, you get a good cup of coffee.
You get a good latte.
Oh.
My, I'll tell you, it's, here's a question. You have multiple types of donuts, because most people just don't have one donut, because that's barbaric. Let's say you have a glazed donut, you know, like old-fashioned glazed donut.
Oh, my dick is hard.
And you have some sort of sweeter donut, like a chocolate or a frosted or a strawberry, something that's a little more frosted, sweet, right?
Yes.
Let's say chocolate, right?
Yes.
Which do you eat first, the more basic glazed one or the sweeter chocolate one?
The Boston cream. That's
so
what I want the stuffed donut with the cream, the orgasm in the middle of the donut.
So you want the sweeter one to start, and you'll go with the more basic one at the end?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I go the opposite, I think.
Because I want to make sure that I devour the good one first.
Well, that's consistent with drinking. I know you don't drink, Mike, but like if you're gonna have like a nice a scotch or something, right? It's smart to start off with the better alcohol liquor first, and then as the night goes on, you use the cheaper stuff because you know it's not as bad.
And
you say go for the good donut first.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Yeah, right. I'm down.
I don't. But, even
plus,
care
plus, plus,
I eat
if
both.
It's a box of donuts and there's people going after the donuts, you want to go for what you want first. You don't want to fuck around because that donut not be gone. That might be gone.
Have you ever had these things called – help me out, Daryl. Popular. They're a newer type of donut. They're popular in the big cities like New York. It's like half of donut, half croissant or
what do you mean,
like a mixture
or something.
No, it's like it's got a name. It's
if it's some fancy donuts, I don't eat those.
They're called Cronuts.
Yes. Tell me, what is it?
I don't know.
I just combine croissant and donut.
You just make
but
it shit up.
There is something like that. It's something.
He ain't pretentious. He don't
or
eat that
a
shit.
Or it's dosant.
They do got them croissants, glazed croissants at Dunkin' Donuts. I eat those. Where it's supposed to be a...
Do you really? Aren't you still drinking the vomit?
It's not vomit.
It's vomit.
It's Swamp Thing green juice.
Hey, you're talking DC Comics now.
Oh.
You got me.
Mm-hmm.
You got me. You had me at Swamp.
You fucking tricked me.
You're drinking Lord Vine 99.
Oh. You know what? I'm going to put you both in my ass. I'm going to grind you both up for making me mad. You just.
You'd have
to talk
have
DC.
A big hole.
This is a family show.
That's why I ground you up into ashes before I put you in my ass. You can't just put somebody in your ass and they don't put them in the...
I can't imagine if the Valiant Central guys started to beep everything out like they have been. On our podcast, they'd be sitting there beeping every other word.
Well, it'd be no show because it'd
be
all beeps.
It would just be beep, beep.
It'd be no beeps.
Beepity beep, beep, beep.
But what do you think of Daryl trying to trade you to Valiant Central? You're the captain of the ship.
It's no trade because he'd be asleep.
It'd be a reverse triangular merger up in this motherfucker. No.
It'd be no trade. It'd be they'll give him back. A couple of shows of him snoring and falling asleep on them.
For a player to be named later, or
we'll get him back.
They'll assume my contract.
They'll get him back.
You didn't even ask for like what do we get in return. That's the weird thing. You just said you could have him
because they're not gonna keep him.
But you act like you're the mogul of the
Mongol.
Whole
you are the Mongol.
I am the Mongol.
You're not. We're our own bosses.
No, I'm the Mongol.
You like to think, and
it's
I don't like the ageism that you make me feel old.
Oh, see, here it is, Daryl.
Because you're an old man.
Let's hear the apology.
There's no apology. You're an old man.
An apology.
Listen to the 20s music.
It's not 20s, it's 40s.
Well, whatever it was.
1840s.
18. See, he did it. He just did the joke, too. He just did the joke too. You see,
I would listen to 1840s.
I listen to old music. I love 40s music. It's good.
You were in a cocoon too.
I don't listen to that much.
Uh huh.
Sinatra. That's about the only 40s music I'll listen to. Sinatra. Or Christmas music.
Daryl just listens to pop, like top shit. That's all.
He just listens to Katy Perry so he can watch Katy Perry.
Yeah. He doesn't even care what they sing. He just cares if they shake their ass. That's all.
That's right.
If there's ass or there's pussy or there's like.
That's right.
What do they call it when they like jiggle their buns together?
Oh, and they like they pop it?
Twerking?
Twerking.
Oh, now who's looking old? What's going on?
Oh, they pop it.
We should have a twerking contest at Heroes just to right after the Valiant panel. We'll just go out there.
I will have buns of steel by the time we get there. We'll twerk
and we'll see who could twerk better.
We'll twerk it then. Let's do it. I know I can.
We'll have a twerk off contest. Any of the listeners that want to join,
a twerk bring off it. Or a twerk off.
Well,
because it's totally different things, my
twerking,
friend.
Twerking.
We'll twerk it.
Twerk it. Jerk it.
When are you going to when's the Denver thing, Mike? Because you got a show coming up with Valiant, right?
Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, it's Memorial Day weekend? Okay. You have to say hi to
know when that is.
I don't think Daryl and I are going to even see the Valiant guys in person all year because they're not at Heroes. And
I don't like their sporadic. I wish they were like consistent at cons. Like if you knew they were going to be at Baltimore one year and they were at Baltimore again, but they seem to be like more strategic. Like we want to spread the wealth, like spread. But the thing I really don't think the West Coast is good. I mean, Colorado's good to Valiant. Well, Mile High is. Maybe I'm just saying Colorado Springs.
Well, Boston isn't good either. If you catch my drift, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm going to Boston though.
CK, you. Motherfucker.
No, my shop owner is like CK, but he at least puts some on the shelf. He just doesn't sell them.
They've got some very big supporters in California.
They just can't sell it.
They can't sell it in Boston.
Well, it's Friendly Neighborhood Comics. They can't sell it. They got terrorists working there.
Is that what it is? A terrorist.
If CK listens to this, he'll cut
punch you in the throat.
He is like the definition of a bully.
He is. Yeah, yes.
You're just getting this now?
Like, yes. How long took you so long to figure that out?
I'm actually terrified to meet him. I'm like afraid that he's going to like body slam me and put a Batman knife to my throat.
He probably would.
I don't think he would do it to Mike, though. I don't think he would.
You'd have to get to know him.
I don't think he would do it. I think Mike has something with Mike that you can't be mad at Mike for too long. He called me pussy on like four or five different shows, and I start out mad, and then by the end of the show, I'm not mad anymore.
Yeah, but CK has a gift. He'll kill anybody.
No, I don't think he doesn't hurt the innocent.
That's true.
He doesn't hurt the innocent.
I like DC. I don't talk bad about DC, so I think I'm safe.
He won't hurt the innocent. So, like I said, he wouldn't do it to Mike. He would be like the Hulk. He would remember not to hurt the innocent.
Here's a pop question, pop quiz. Does Sinestro have his ring on his left hand or his right hand?
Right.
No, left.
I don't know. He's the opposite. Isn't he the opposite of Hal's ring?
Why would you be the opposite?
His left hand.
He's supposed to be the evil.
He's not evil, though.
Well, I'm talking about when they created him. He's
a monarch. He just wants to. He's like a.
They have updated him since.
No,
then.
He's like Harada. He really is. I think they're very.
Well, he's been updated and developed, but I mean, in the beginning, he was just.
Well, even similar. He was a bad guy, but he. Thought he was doing good for his planet. That's just like Harada.
Okay, I have another pop quiz for you. What actor was he modeled after?
Ooh, I should know this.
Clark Gable.
Clark Gable.
David Niven.
Oh, I can see that. I can see that. David Niven
is. Who is that?
Well, I don't know. Just look on the internet. You'll still recognize him.
I don't have an actor from the 40s. He's not on my. I only have black Google. I don't have old white.
I'm blanking on what he's been in. He's been in quite a few movies.
I don't have white people.
He does look like him.
And I think Paul. I think it was Paul Newman for Hal. I mean, this is like legitimate. Like this is what the artists and.
I guess it would make sense back at that time.
Speaking of which, I still think that Ken Watanabe should play Toya Harada.
Yeah.
Mm.
And how? So,
with a TV show, now that they've had this Daredevil TV show, do you think that it would be better if they did a Netflix Harbinger?
Dude, hell yes.
Type of show?
We've already talked about this, right? That would be the best.
Yeah, just because
but
of
I'm
like
saying it came out. I mean, this has come out.
Political intrigue and all that. I think it'd work better in a TV show. It's an ongoing thread.
They can pepper in all the things that are, you know, from other. They can pepper in all
build.
The
That's the most important thing. Certain titles, well, a lot of Valiant titles need to build over time. And I think none more than Harbinger. So, yes. So I was telling Mike, there are some West Coast shops that are apparently extremely big supporters of Valiant. In California, especially, but maybe
I guess I should have narrowed it down. Colorado Springs shops are not friendly because you got Justin at Mile High, and they're really Valiant. You could get a lot of Valiant there.
You know, I would think the two places that would really be Valiant would have Valiant buyers, more people that would try it, would be New York and LA, I think.
Oh, for sure. And that would be interesting to see, like, a breakdown on, like, you know, they have, like, little maps, like, with percentages and shit, like, mm-hmm. where their sales are. I mean, of course they're going to be in bigger cities because that's where the people are. That's where the stores are.
But I think they try more stuff.
Plus, they're bigger stores that will stock it. They'll take risk because they have more clientele. They can take a risk on stuff. Whereas these smaller mom and pop stores, they rely on their pull list guys and then stock what they know they can sell on the shelf.
Yeah, you're right. Not every store. Some stores seem to be going month to month, and they just don't want to order something for speculation on the shelf. Yeah.
Well, you got people that'll just come in and just pick up exactly what's in the box, and that's it. They get whatever's in there. Harley
doesn't want to go outside because we got about 2 inches of snow right now.
Are you serious?
It's
coming down pretty hard.
I don't want to go there. Well, it shouldn't be snowing anymore.
I want the sunlight on snow. That's what I want.
I love those issues. I reread them again today.
Is that real? Them.
They're so good. You want to talk about Bloodshot? I mean, we got to.
Might as well.
Yeah, let's do this so Daryl could go to bed.
So, yeah, you're going to be falling asleep, Daryl.
I'm falling asleep right now.
I remember the one time, Mike, remember we were interviewing, I think it was Rafer. We were interviewing Rafer, and it's not Daryl's fault because I told him I just needed him to start the recorder, and he could just like do whatever he wanted to do.
And
but
I did.
But he didn't mute his microphone. So he started to record it. And all of a sudden he started snoring during the recording and he wouldn't answer his phone. So like we couldn't record because he was just snoring throughout the whole interview.
That was knocked out.
It was kind of, I should have saved that audio. It was pretty funny actually. We're like, we're taking turns yelling at you. And just
you should have
peaceful.
Saved
anyway, Bloodshot Reborn. This is by Lemire and Miko Soyan, and this is their second best selling number one issue they put out, and it sounds like people really love the issue.
It looks so.
What did you guys think of it?
Well, he's definitely white now.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Why did they change that?
I don't know. It's a question I would love to ask.
Well, is Matt going to be at Denver Comic Con? Mike?
Well, I don't know if that...
I mean, no, Jeff, what am I talking about? This is Jeff.
I hope he's there. I hope he's there. I haven't checked anybody.
Well, you know what? We'll find out.
Yeah, we need to find that out. Because I'm very curious about that.
They're just whitewashing people left and right. Next thing you know it, they're going to have Jennifer Lawrence playing Amanda. And she probably wouldn't mind too much. This book
seems... Were you the one that sent me butt shots of her? What? Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, he did it on DC.
Talking to me?
You did that.
Someone shared it with me. There were
pictures.
All the celebrity, when the celebrity
shots were getting leaked.
And so I shared it with Mike. And then Keith, who pretended not to want to see them.
Don't send it to me.
All of a sudden wanted him to see them.
No, I don't want to see it.
Was that what Keith was saying?
Remember, that's what he did.
I remember. He's like, "Don't, I will not look at that. Don't send
it. I don't want to look at
that.
Send it to me. He was sniping himself. And he was like, "Oh my."
But anyway, that was some sexy.
Didn't like the one where she had a cigarette in her mouth.
I don't like cigarettes.
Well, I didn't, because like cigarettes, that. For some reason, they turn me off.
A little right gross.
Well, it's the smell. But I'm asthmatic, and I just can't deal with the
smoke. Don't like them.
I can barely breathe without the smoke.
Exactly. Let's go to a concert. God damn it. You know what you hear Daryl and him breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You sound like Vader.
You do.
You gotta walk to the other side of the con.
Oh man, I got off the subway this morning to go to work, and there's an escalator that goes up about, I don't know, 100 flights of stairs. Like, it's a long tunnel, and there's an escalator going up and down, and then there's stairs on the right, but it's a lot of stairs. It's maybe 100 stairs.
Fuck that.
And the up escalator was broken, so it was stopped. So you had to walk up the stairs or walk up the escalator. So no big deal. People are just walking up the escalator, but there's so many fat people in D.C. that about every 10th person would stop and go, "Oh, you got to be kidding me."
That's me.
And like, they would just turn around like, "Where are you going?"
Going back home. Fuck this. I'm not going to work. I'm calling in. I'm going back home.
I'm sick of exercising.
Damn right.
Oh, sorry. I got off track. This episode felt very much like a 90s Fox Garth Ennis Punisher TV show. It felt good. This is not a bad thing. That is a good
thing. Actually, it reminded me of a Warren Ellis 90s comic book.
Yeah, and I liked how it started. At first, I kind of was a little, this is a lot of info dump at the beginning.
Yes.
But then I thought about it.
We need
it. You need to. There's going to be, a lot of people are going to be reading this book and won't have read the original Bloodshot series. I mean, look at the sales, 45,000 compared to how much was Bloodshot selling before, like 10,000. I mean, you need to get people caught up. And hopefully they read The Valiant, and that probably would have told them everything they needed to know. But
I doubt it.
It's worth doing again.
I bet you they just read Bloodshot. A lot of the people are just going to read Bloodshot more.
Maybe people waiting for the trade, the Valiant trade, and then... Maybe a lot of people will read Bloodshot Reborn 1, and then they'll go back and get the Valiant trade. And so I thought it was a good idea. What do you think of Miko's art?
Oh, the art is gorgeous.
Oh, I loved it.
I just didn't like Blood Squirt. I didn't like it.
I loved it.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't like it.
So that's the big thing, right?
But I don't think Blood Squirt is... I think that's what Bloodshot is seeing. I don't think that's really on the screen.
Oh, of course not.
I think he's having a hard time dealing with the loss of nanites. Like, his brain is just it's almost like you had a dick and all of a sudden your dick's gone and you don't know what to do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
What made him
dynamic and energetic and special. It's gone.
Yeah, but you know, now he gets a chance to find out, you know, without the nanites, and this is gonna be the tragedy. Is he's gonna be motivated to kind of see what he's made of without the nanites, without being pre-programmed, all that, and he's gonna be, I think, inspired to like do good. I think he'll start doing a lot of good things.
But then
the tragedy is gonna be that the nanites weren't completely gone, and he'll be forever doubting whether.
What I wonder is if this is, remember in the movie, like we always, the thing when people talk about could you do a Bloodshot movie is, are they going to be able to deal with a character that's going to be looking like that, all white, all throughout the movie? Now, what if this enables him to turn them off and on?
Huh.
It could be like a temporary thing too.
Like Hulk out?
They did a couple of things in there that they could go many different ways with it.
Like, what if he doesn't have? He can only use him for a certain amount of time. That could be one, or he can, by force of will, just turn them off. Just switch them off.
It's important. He could change his appearance. Remember?
He could, but he rarely did, though.
Like Martin will get this reference. It's like the music video, Detachable Penis.
Oh, I remember that.
He lost his dick, and now he's got to go find it.
That's
the music video, Detachable Penis. Martin will get it.
I know.
You know what video I'm talking about.
I do.
You're so nasty, Mike. I don't know why you have to go with
it's a
dick
song.
All the time.
It was a popular song.
It was like, popular.
It was popular because he was talking about a dick. And like when you're a teenager, a kid, and you hear, oh, he's talking about his dick and he lost his dick. It's funny as shit.
Well, he does the way that he's talking like someone who is impotent. He does sound like he's.
The video?
No, not the goddamn video. I'm talking about
I was going to tell you, I didn't get that out of the video.
I'm talking about the book. The way he talks about it, it's like he sounds like someone who is impotent in a way. Like he can't, it's still something missing. Like nothing satisfies him. Nothing feels right.
Low T.
Nothing feels right.
Really low T.
Because he's not happy without them. Like,
well, I think he's even dragging, like, adrenaline. It's like his, it's almost like you had this much adrenaline.
Withdrawal, maybe?
Move at a certain level, right? And then all of a sudden.
Not even withdrawal.
I think he went, like, from being, like, a 20-year-old body, energetic and ready to work, into, like, a 70-year-old man. Just like that. Bang.
I hear what you're saying.
Because he went from somebody who, I mean, it was fun to imagine I could have been something more than what I was when he had the nanites and he had to do things he had to do. But now without them, you kind of think about it. He kind of misses what he had.
Is it not impotent, but is it something to do with K, maybe? Or no, or is that too soon?
Part of it's K. Like the part of it is he was supposed to protect her. Like that was the one he felt like he had a real purpose. It was to protect her, and he didn't do it.
As a married man, I feel that my wife makes me a better man than I would be if I never met her. And I feel like that's how I felt when he met K. I'm a complete pussy. That's how I felt when he met K. Like I felt he thought he was going towards something better, and so when she died, and now you feel he's impotent. And I agree.
Well, there was the potential for that. I mean, I don't think that they fell in love.
Oh, for sure.
Right in that storyline,
there's a glimmer.
But there was the potential of, and I think that made the tragedy even worse because there was the potential of it being something. She didn't look at him like a thing.
Right. That's why I think he's like, I haven't been able to talk to anybody pretty much. And now he could talk like a human being to somebody. Mm-hmm. Somebody that didn't treat him like a piece of machine.
Right.
Now he was being treated like a person. And he's like, hell, this is new to me.
Because Livewire started it. I mean, she's the first person to look at him and say that there's a spark of life in you. You're not just all nanite like you thought you were.
That was an important scene. You know, this is a deep cut, and it's probably you'll laugh at me because you won't see the connection. But for some reason, when I was looking at him with that shitty job at that motel, I immediately thought of this character in the movie Heat, Dennis Haysbert's character in the movie Heat.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that's who he was. Like this guy who, remember, because his character was out of prison, he was trying to find a job.
Oh, yeah.
He was just very lost,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's a sadness about him.
Well, even, I put some of that in there because even you say to yourself, even though I'm a criminal and it's wrong and all that stuff, I still felt like that's who I am. Like, he still felt like that was who he was as a person. When he wasn't that, he kind of didn't know how to live.
Yeah, exactly.
He felt like he was lost. He didn't feel like he had an identity. Even though it's wrong, like, even when they had the conversation, you know, like, even when De Niro and Al Pacino had that conversation towards the end where he was like, I'm a criminal, you got to come and get me. And he was like, I'm a cop. Even though there were consequences for being who they were, they never got close to people. They never, you know, like, they never, there were parts of their lives that they were never going to have. That intimacy, the type of family, they're never going to have that because of who they are. And they still, at the heart of it, they still were, I'm a cop, you're a criminal. And I think even with the whole thing with Bloodshot, not wanting to be forced to be that thing, that killer and all that, I think the part of the fear is at the heart of it, that's what he was.
And then what happens?
He was this soldier. He was that killer.
And then to make it worse, he's got these weird-ass hallucinations. Now, Mike, you're right, I think. These aren't things that other people can see. And the real question is it something coming from inside him? Like, is it some latent nanites that are doing something? I don't know if they're just on the fritz.
Or
they're just
subconscious.
Kind of right, or this is even more fucked up. If the nanites are out of his body,
mm-hmm.
where are they? And are these nanites trying to
find
reconnect?
Him. Right.
Because remember, there was that one arc a while ago with Lysander. Remember when Harada took out some of the nanites?
Well, they chose another when they did that. Remember, yeah, chose another. And. I thought that they were going to go the route of the morality of his nanites. They needed to be in Bloodshot to act right. Because without them being in Bloodshot, they kind of
wouldn't
have that compassion at all.
I think some of those nanites found their way into other people. And that's why you see all the Bloodshot killer, like the guys who look like Bloodshot.
Right.
On the last page, like the preview of what's to come,
mm-hmm.
part of me feels like the nanites weren't destroyed. They're out there somewhere, and this is their way of trying to reach out to Bloodshot, who maybe still has some left in him.
I think so, too. I thought that when I saw the news things, like they were going from person to person trying to.
Yeah, right, with all the things. The other option is that there aren't any nanites out there. There's just a few left in him. Mm-hmm. And they're just, you know, skitzing out. But I think there's some left in him, and I think the ones that were taken out are still out there, and maybe in other people. Because you know when Kay said that, oh, I've taken out the nanites,
mm-hmm.
any good writer, it's like, that's rule number one. You can't just let someone who says they did something actually do it.
Right.
You know, they had to have fucked up.
And
or
she
not
was dying
completely.
At the time.
They could be in remission.
Right.
But I think he's freaking out because he's got withdrawal, because I think like a drug addict that's totally on heroin, you know, like could hallucinate when they're in a withdrawal state. And I think if you're at a certain level your entire life and you lose it instantaneously, he's hitting withdrawal and he's like, he's starting to see shit. He can't even like move right. He's I think they're dormant. They're either dormant or they are gone.
He is, and he's clearly got substance abuse issues. He's drinking. He's snorting whatever the fuck those little pills are.
I thought he had a line of cocaine, didn't he?
I thought
they're not. It's not coke. No, because you see, they're pills. He dumps pills out of
his
bag.
Oh, yeah, he's breaking up the pills. That's another thing that they do. They crush the pills.
I have no idea what those... I'm not a drug addict. I have no idea what the fuck
that
is.
They take the... It's the same thing with the pill. Instead of taking the pills, ingesting it, you can get a faster high if you ground them up and then you sniff them.
That sounds really disgusting. He's got a bottle of booze and...
A lot of people do. But you know what? It's the guilt, too, because he's killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Those files, I mean, he kind of knows. He's killed a lot of innocent people as well. I mean, we've read those issues where he was just a rampaging psychopath. Like, it wasn't his fault because he wasn't in control of any emotions. He was just
I guess I didn't pay attention to the pills because of that damn V in the middle of the page that distracts the hell out of me.
I know. So he still has the circle in his chest.
Right.
It's just not red. It looks like it's healing, kind of.
It's like a scar.
He's still really buff, but
mm-hmm.
What do you think about his decision to not look at the file, his own file?
I could see. You know what? I could see it because he's part. It kind of shows cowardice to not look at that.
It's a little. It's. I mean, for all you know, he could have family that's still alive that could help him get through this, like siblings.
But are they really family, though? Like,
they are. Really, I don't know.
They are.
Maybe he wants to get his head. Maybe he wants to get his shit together.
But what is he himself, though? I mean, is he? He's a person. I mean, is he really that? They use bits and pieces of other.
Clearly, he's going to be a black man
soldiers.
In the older, and he's going to freak out.
But he's not the only one they use. They use other,
for sure.
They use other memories. So he's not really those people. I think he's coming to the conclusion of, I think they would want to romance. In other comics, they romanticize something like that happening, where they would say he is the person that they used, and then they would be with that person or whatever. You would kind of insert themselves into that person's life. But this is more realistic. He's not really those people.
Mm-hmm.
He's pieces. He was thrown together. It's like a bunch of podcast recordings. A bunch of podcast recordings thrown into one person. He's not really that. Like, there's just memories. They're just thoughts. They're memories, fake, false, you know, memories put in his head. He's not really that person.
So that's a good question. Whose memories does he have right now? He has to have some memories of...
Like, he have bits of
pieces. Does he have no memory beyond when he broke out from the last time he was wiped? Or does he have the fake memories of Ray Garrison? And he's just got to ignore them? Because he knows they're not real. I gotta look into that. Because that would be tough.
That is
right?
Tough. Yeah.
I don't know. What would you rather have? Like real memories back to when you broke out of PRS, and then the fake memories before that, or would you rather just have no memory whatsoever before you broke out? I think I'd rather have no memories.
Yeah, wipe it clean. If I had to keep all them killings and stuff, wipe it clean.
But he seems to remember past missions. I mean, he's having all these nightmares about, like, killing people, it seems.
Well, I guess it's kind of, if you think of it, even though it's been erased, it's like a recording that it's not fully, it's erased and then taped over. It's not fully erased. It's still, like, bits, like, tendrils of other memories that he's, you know, that they kind of taped over, kind of. Like, there's vague things, like, he probably remembers little vague things, like, probably things remind him of a mission or something, but he doesn't have a full cognitive thing of it.
I gotta say, man, the colors, especially in the hotel scene when he goes into the bathroom and it's like this lime green light, you know what page I'm talking about? It's like page It's the page where he goes into the bathroom and, like, splashes water on his face.
Mm-hmm.
The colors blew my fucking mind. I don't know why, but, like, the lime green, like, for the light in the bathroom, right. It was so striking when I turned that page.
Oh, deep, yeah.
David Barron did the colors. Mad props to that guy.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Really, yeah. Whew, I'll tell you. So he gets along with Kay. Is that kind of hot? Do you think he totally boned her in his mind?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Why not? He's
got the whole, like, shh, and then cut to morning.
So he was...
How would that work, Daryl, by the way? How would that work? If you were there, would he just be, like, touching himself or touching an imaginary woman? What's going on?
Why would Daryl know?
Because I imagine these things with Livewire every night.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Come on now.
He probably just jerking it. And I think sometimes he's having sex with prostitutes.
Oh, K cosplay hookers?
What's interesting,
in his head,
he's telling himself
this. We really know how he thought of K. He was thinking of sexually about it.
I was right.
Whereas before,
straight he was.
I told you that.
I don't know a lot. I thought it could have gone either way. You know, I heard a lot of discussions. I didn't think
I knew.
Oh, he definitely.
He definitely had. I knew he did. He definitely.
I never thought for a millisecond the way he talked to her.
He was too protective of her too, mm-hmm. And I knew it. He definitely was. I told you they were kindred spirits, man. These were two dudes. These are two dudes. There were two people that were kind of damaged and thrown into situations where they didn't have control. And they kind of, you know, bonded from that. Like, she got into this. She didn't want to be in no damn geomancer.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to hang out and get paid being a, you know, being a whatever the fuck she was. I forgot what she was doing for companies. And then they kind of fucked it up for her. They kind of threw her in this thing. She didn't want to work for them. She didn't want to work for the man. She was forced to do this.
I love how he just has a black t-shirt now with a red circle on the... He's got the suit. It's like the new Superman outfit, right? He's got the Connor Kent outfit, but instead of a red S, it's a red circle.
Well, you know, it kind of. I had to say, it does remind me of like Punisher for a little bit,
it like totally
of having the T-shirt. Yeah, it reminded me of that.
I really do think that kid though that was playing the video game is mischievous. I don't think that's him.
Yeah,
I don't think that's him imagining that.
No, it's something up with that kid. It's something up with that kid because it's too mentioned. The way it was mentioned, it's just too. It seems important. Something's gonna happen with that maybe. Kid, with that little shit.
Maybe he'll get some nanites in him. He'll turn into a little 12-year-old
psychopath. A lot of real terror aspects to this though, because they have the shooting. You know, that guy going in there and shooting like kind of like these school shootings or the movie theater shooting here in Aurora.
I thought about that.
You know, it's like that, and that's kind of like what triggered him to say, fuck this, I'm gonna go kill some people.
Yeah, like, man.
Punisher.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was nuts in the beginning.
He is kind of like the Punisher now.
Yeah.
Because he's got no nanites. He's just a guy with guns. And I think he's a weak guy with guns because he doesn't know how to function without them yet.
No.
He'll have to learn. Well, this seems like it could be. This seems very cinematic. Like, this seems like it could be the first 30 minutes of a TV show or a movie or something. And I'm wondering if one part of the way that Valiant got Jeff Lemire to come on board was that his storyline, and maybe one of the reasons why he's so far ahead, 20 plus issues ahead, is that they're going to use his story as the outline for the movie.
It's the first thing I thought. I really did.
Yeah.
When I read this, I thought, was this their way of trying to adapt this story so that people could
relate more?
could relate to it, because that's the thing. Like, it didn't hold me back from liking Bloodshot, but everybody who never read a Bloodshot comic, who are on the thing of I don't want to pick it up, all they could see is the red dot and that he's pale. That's all they see.
Yeah.
Like, there's no end. There's no end with that.
It would be interesting to hear from somebody that's not a Valiant fan to read this.
Yeah. What?
Well, because you're basically taking a guy. I mean, you're taking somebody that had powers, and yeah, they talk about him. You know, all the history of what you need to know, more or less, in the first two pages, right? It's like, bang, here's all the history. Here's where we were. And now here's where we're at now, and he's powerless.
Right.
And he's a drug addict and a mess.
That's the thing is to show. I mean, that's the cinematic thing that everybody does now, is the damage, you know, you to show the damaged person.
As a first reader, though, are you bonding to the character, or do you say, fuck it, I don't care?
That's a good question.
Because we've been through the history of this character,
right? So we're bonded. We've already bonded with him already.
Are those two pages or three pages enough to make you care? Or and then throw in the Kate scene, and you know?
Well, it's the combination of the initial pages plus seeing how down on luck he is in the
and it might not
situation.
Even be about care. I mean, are you just interested enough to continue to see what the hell is going on?
All right. I agree. You know, this is a good transition for the other book we're going to talk about, The Nanites. We find out that Snow Shovel on Sunflakes, or whatever his name is.
Sunlight on Snow.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's Sunlight on Snow.
Sure.
I respect...
Because the whole thing is the play on words. The sun melts the snow.
See, you don't respect technology. I respect technology.
Yellow Snow. Well, he has nanites in him.
Yes, he does.
That's interesting.
But
that's
he awesome. Can't activate them.
He can't connect to other networks, right?
Yep, and he did that to Bloodshot as well, remember?
Yeah, man, that's because that would be super powerful if he
Project Rising Star, that's what they did. They made it so that he couldn't use his nanites.
But now he can.
Now he can, obviously. But I mean that was part of the neutering of Bloodshot. And in a way, they neutered, they did the same thing to hit this character.
Yeah. I remember because Joe's Armor Hunters story I thought was really cool, how he used his powers. It reminded me very much, Daryl, of Jor-El in Man of Steel. You know, like opening and closing doors and shit. Like,
yeah.
he was working it.
Yeah, because to imagine to be able to spread out your consciousness into the world. I mean, how we are all tech. I mean, there's signals going all over the place. This is a planet full of satellite signals and all types of stuff. So I mean, it would be unlimited if he would be able to talk to other machines who knows what he would become.
Well, you know, the first thing I thought of when Snowflake Sunshine on Snow, when they talked about this little interference ring that kind of prevented him from doing all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Every time I see any sort of character like this now, I automatically think, is this the thing that's going to become father?
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a possibility.
I don't know. Just that combined. I don't know.
Well, tech is just growing. Like, remember, this is the time where Vine technology, alien tech is all over the place. Mm-hmm. They're building new things on top of that. I mean, it's got to be combinations. Then you have Psyots, who part of their power is tech. I mean,
well, it seems that he's inadvertently, I think, triggered an arms race in terms of tech, not necessarily weapons,
but in tech. Right. And well, it's funny because this book now has become, Imperium is kind of like, he is a mutant or a psyot, but a computer psyot. Like, there's, psyot is something new. It's been, it grows out of, you know, humans that have some type of change. They metamorph into something else when hit with stimuli. That's basically what psyots are. He is something of a psyot. He's a robot that's something he was created, and then from a catalyst, he became something else.
He's A1 in the future that makes a robot fighter. Magnus. For real, man.
He's people love this character. What is it with Valiant and creating awesome robot motherfuckers? You know, whether it's Ginger or Sunflakes on Snow.
You don't respect the AI.
He's
pulling a Harada because Harada always calls him by his other name. He will not acknowledge.
Major. He won't do it.
He will not acknowledge his other name.
Won't do it.
I'm gonna call him Major Mech. Mm-hmm. Mech Major, whatever. I don't know if that felt very much like what's the movie where the guy doesn't show proper respect to his subordinates, and then it ends up like, if you just given your subordinate, like the English version of House of Cards, if you just given your subordinate a little bit more respect, he wouldn't have like gone crazy and orchestrated your downfall later. You know, it's in lots of movies, kind of like it's in lots of movies, you know. And so is this the thing that, you know, kind of sets him not against Harada, but a little bit of kindness, I feel like, can go a long way with subordinates who just want to serve. You know?
It's funny that he is kind of what Harada's doing to this new being is kind of what people want to do to Harada.
Same thing.
I think that
pissed off Sunlight Man. Sunlight Robot. I think it pissed him off because he saw what he was doing. Like, oh, you're preventing him from connecting to the Vine network, just like you prevented me from joining up the interwebs. And I feel like he definitely feels like he's a kindred spirit, kind of. But I very much get the sense of, oh, hey, we're similar, but like the other guy's a fucking raving lunatic alien murderer, and like, you got nothing else in kind with this dude. You know what I mean? Like, he's an assassin. I love this, and you hate violence. What the
fuck? But this is funny because he is like the Jem'Hadar. For people that watch Deep Space Nine, he is something that was bred for. He is a Jem'Hadar without the white, without the
neutral. Without the white.
He's the assassin, but now he has nothing. The purpose, he has no purpose because there is no Vine in the area. The Vine are gone. So there's no one for him to connect to go out to kill whoever. That was he was made for, to wipe out shit. So now what? Like, what is he now? Like, what is he without a master, without a mission?
I'm surprised it didn't try to kill itself.
Seriously. They might not have it in. They might not have that capability put in them.
It seems like Harada is pleased with himself that this thing wants to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, well, he seems happy with how things are. I'm like, man, I don't know how happy you'd be. I don't know, man. Why is this thing going to listen to him? That's, I guess, what I'm saying. Because he can't control it with his mind. Right?
Not yet.
Yeah.
I think he thinks if he, after a while, that he can train it. I think that's what he thinks. If he controls the environment, that he could eventually become its next brood mother or whatever they would call it. You know, his pack or his master or whatever.
I'm your mama.
Basically.
What'd you think of the Grave Dog episode issue? I still don't know if it's a triple cross or quadruple cross.
That's the thing I like about it is I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. Like,
I don't dig that guy for some reason.
And you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to.
No, I know, but I just don't. Like, I don't even like. There's villains and stuff I find interesting, and I don't find him interesting for some reason.
I just find him a villain. I just think of him as just the dude. He reminds me of just the dude that they wind up having to kill at the end of the movie. Like, he's the soldier that's working on the good guy's side, or supposedly on the good guy's side, and he turns on the team, and then eventually the lead, the hero of the movie has to eventually just have to
put he's a horrible person.
To kill him. Yeah.
I'm just wondering if it's like a triple cross where, like, Kozel wanted to send him there and knew, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. who's going to have the last laugh here? Because Harada thinks that he's tricked.
Because the crazy thing is, both of them are, Harada and Kozel, are both to the point where they don't care who dies. Like, even though this dude killed people, they're cannon fodder. Even,
two sides, you know, of the same coin.
Two sides of the same coin. They don't care if they kill other soldiers. Even if this trick, if it's a triple cross, he killed those people for nothing.
Well, but they're expendable.
So right, they're expendable.
Like, what has Kozel actually lost here so far? He could be treating him as a double agent.
He lost nothing, and that's the point. Like, Harada thinks of his Psyods the same way.
Oh, he loses something to. Because a lot of money goes into these motherfuckers. I mean,
remember, lot of money is put into them now.
Yeah, but, but it's like not nothing. In other words, money's a lot. And they invest time and money in them because they put the chip in. They give them these abilities. They train.
But this is now. They're giving him a blank check. The world nations are giving this dude a blank check because they're so scared of Harada.
I think this grave dog fucker is in on something, though. Like, it was meant to be to get in that thing. It was meant to be that.
If it ain't,
they're plotting Harada's downfall. Whether
it ain't for the project,
he knows it or not,
nation.
They're ready to. It's almost like, let's inject the fucking virus, right? We can't take this guy down from the outside, so let's inject the fucking virus inside, which is him, and then we'll go from there.
Now the hard part is that the Harada can go in this dude's brain, so they gotta figure out a way.
Maybe they did figure a way to hard
what it is.
Maybe they could dial it up to only do it sporadically, so he doesn't even fucking know it's going on. So he's like reading his mind, and then he's doing it while he doesn't know he's reading his mind.
That would mean they would either have to have a copy on file to make think of what he wants Harada to see, which is still hiding the other part of his brain that's hiding the real info.
Or if they mimicked a Psyot that could do that. What if they did that?
That they could. Well, like I said, they've put all their money, like, to have, well, how many nations did they say put money into
13 project? Or 11?
That's a lot of fucking money. I mean, that's past the billions, I think. Because he was already rich.
Yeah, that's when you have that many people spreading the cost. Yeah.
So who knows what the hell, like, what kind of soldiers they're building now.
That like submarine looks like it cost billions of dollars.
It had to. Had to. Had
oh,
to.
Goodness. Yeah. What do you think of the use of photographs throughout the book?
You know what I'm talking about? It gives it a feel. It gives it an emotional resonance, I think.
You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, like the use of like actual pictures of things, like the sunlight on snow, like you see the actual.
Like I said, it's supposed to make you feel the actual emotional resonance, which we know is fake, and the shit was fake. So there has to be a reason why this AI, they used that for this AI for a memory he's not even supposed to have.
I liked it there, but I didn't like it in some other places, like at the beginning of issue 2, where it shows the United Nations, and like the very opening shot is like a blurred out picture of the United Nations, and then the next panel is like drawn. Like, I thought that was unnecessary. I don't get the point of that. It kind of took me out of it. You know what I'm talking about? The very first panel. Me.
Yeah, but it didn't
really, what do you think?
It didn't bother me.
Did it bother you?
I read these things so fucking late at night that I don't remember. I was like 4 a.m. or something when I couldn't
Holy
sleep.
Holy shit.
What the fuck
are you doing?
What do you think of Dougie Braithwaite's art? Amazing as usual. I love how he draws Harada.
Mm-hmm. He does a good job. It's somehow he draws the sunlight on snow.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Because he's not a sexy robot. Like, this is not a design that's...
He's a medbot, cool right? Isn't he a med... He's a medbot, right?
I don't think that was a medbot body.
No, I think he was a reprogrammed medbot. And that's what...
Yeah.
And that's how he could... And that's one of the reasons how he could hold Stronghold inside himself. Because it's like a... it's meant for, like, medical reasons. It's in here somewhere that it was a medbot that was injected with nanites. Right. Which is why he doesn't look like an offensive, you know, power.
But I mean, they could have just designed it to try to make it, you know, sexy and stuff. Like, to make And they didn't. And they didn't do it. Because it would have been easy to do it that way. That would have been the lazy, easy way to do it. Or to make him more, to make him look like fucking Data or something. But they didn't do that. Like, he is different. Like, it's funny, because in a world where these Psyots are treated as not human, not different, he is with them and still treated as an outsider. Even though their whole thing is to struggle against being treated as outsiders. Like when he called that girl to call the therapist out on it.
Oh, yeah. Ingrid, yeah. She was a bitch. I just want someone to talk to. No. I don't know what... Yeah, she just sucks.
Like, these are not... Like, the ones that are working for him now, these are not people who are fooled by his deal. Like, they know what... Some of them, the ones who are closest to him, they know what's up. Like, they're pretty much, this is about keeping their race going. And taking over.
I want to see this title never end. I love this.
I would love for it to never
end. It's like he keeps Dysart's the master of introducing characters that I never knew I needed. But then once he introduces them to me, it's like, oh, of course I need these characters in my life.
Because look how different this is from the Harbinger. Like, when we read the Harbingers, this is actually a comic where this is totally different. Like, changes were made in this book that have stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, you don't even have Peter in the group. They're gone. Like, they're not even mentioned in this book. This is Harada's deal now.
This book is impenetrable, though, for people that... at least I...
Oh, hell yeah.
For somebody who's not already vested. Like, I could see them, like, say, what the hell is this? Like, it's so ingrained into everything that they've built so far for you
to
care.
It is ingrained. Yeah.
For you to care.
Yeah, it is ingrained.
It's not a good jumping... It's a good jumping on point for the new characters. Like... You know, like sunlight on snow and stuff.
But it also depends.
But like,
it's
circling around Harada, and right. Really, they haven't really focused on him at all. The first issue was going over Darpan, right?
Right.
The second issue was on Grave Dog. The third issue was on Sunlight and Snow, and he's just there.
And yet, he's important to every issue, though. Like, everything he set. Like, this is all the
road.
This is
the
road he is set.
The universe and the story sets around him.
Right.
Like,
but I'm saying he is necessary. Like, all the things that they're doing now, the whole thing from taking over that ship, for bringing it to where they brought it, from causing all those nations to go against him now, because he basically said... You know, I'm here and, you know, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. He's dared them to do something about it. Like, all the things that are happened in this book so far is because of the path that he took.
Yeah.
Even though it's about the other characters involved in around the story, but this is still because of what he's done.
Yeah, man. I think this is the thank you to the loyal fans that have been reading every issue of Valiant forever. And
I think of this, the number ones that come out. Like, we look at Ninjak, we look at Bloodshot, we look at Imperium. I think the one that people can get in the easiest is Ninjak. I really do.
Yeah, I would.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And it helped that he was only in Unity, like, for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
The only book he was in, so it helps that was the case.
But even then, I heard podcast people saying, I was good, but I don't know this character. So what does that mean? It's like, that's the part I just can't understand. Because we come from a generation that you never started with issue one.
We never did. We never did.
We never gave a shit. We were on 230. There wasn't a jumping off point. You'd go on.
Well, I did. Mike, I did. There were lots of new number ones in the late 80s, and that's when I really started getting into reading comics. Oh, you mean
after Crisis?
Because I was 10 years old in 1988, and like that's when the Punisher number one came out, and Punisher War Journal number one, and Ghost Rider number one came out, and New Warriors number one, and like there were a lot of titles that I did jump on. Wasn't that
the 90s?
No, those are late
80s.
Ghost Rider was 90s.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Ghost Rider, the other guy, the Keech guy, the
Danny Ketch. Don't
Danny Ketch.
Danny Ketch.
He was 90.
Well, maybe it was 1990. Okay, well, I was 12.
I think.
But those books, I did start with number one, and those are the books that I actually have loved the most. Now you're right though, because it always makes me laugh. The first issue I ever read of Uncanny X-Men was off a spinner rack at 7-Eleven. I think it was part 3 of The Fall of the Mutants, Uncanny X-Men. That was like the worst possible fucking issue to ever jump in on.
I don't think I had a...
But I did it anyway. I didn't care.
I don't think I got a number one book until the 90s, because all the... When I was reading in the early 80s and on, there was no ones for me.
Batman and Detective, they were way up there. Flash was way in the
way up there. It was Brave and the Bold, Green Lantern.
Defenders was in the 20s when I started.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four was way up there. Cap was way up there. Everything that I knew, Archie, everything was.
I mean, way Kurt Swan, Superman for me. That was way in so many stories of Superman.
But as a kid, I didn't give a fuck. I was just this is cool as shit. It didn't
matter, yeah.
I got random. Like, I didn't have a comic shop near me. So whenever I, saw whatever comics in whatever magazine store, whatever I was at, that was it. I just had to get what was there. There was no, I knew I was coming back again the next week or whatever. It was just when you were at a store, you picked up all the shit that you could get for however amount of money that your parents let you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all I had. That was it. I would just buy a bunch of shit. And then I didn't know again when I was going to go to the store again. And then when I did, I would beg for the money. I would have my allowance and I would buy a bunch of shit again.
Yeah, it was exactly. I never knew if I was going to get the next
issue. I never finished it. You know how much shit I had to finish later, years later?
Yeah, by looking in the back issues? Right, that's when I went back.
Yeah.
Once I found out that these comic shops or bookstores existed that sold back issues, it was like, oh my God. I remember I found the Champions, and I was like, who the fuck is Hercules doing with Ghost Rider? What the fuck? This is such a weird team. You got two X-Men, and then I went and bought all those, and then it was downhill from there and back issues. I was, like, infatuated that these things existed. I always thought they just went away.
The first time I ever finished a multi-parted story, I thought I was a fucking man. I jumped for joy. It was such an amazing thing to actually finish. And I'm talking about it wasn't like the next week. it probably took me months to finish like a three-parter. And I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world to have that, like to be able to have that three-parter. And I read the shit out of it.
Yeah.
I think it was an Iron Man book that I did like a three-parter on or something.
And there was even time where I literally couldn't read and I still got comics. Like in college, I was so fucking busy. I mean, I was studying all the time, up late studying, and I would still go to the shop and fucking buy like $60 worth of books and then read them way, way, way later in the break.
That's when they were a dollar.
Yeah, that was the good old days.
Oh man, I'm $30. I had 30 fucking comics.
This is tripping me out.
The prices right now are really high. Like it's, and I just can't imagine as a digital user. Well, maybe my brain just can't wrap its mind around it. But like, I have a physical copy, and a lot of times with the Marvel books, I have a physical and a digital copy. But when you just buy a digital book, that's all you have, and it's just there.
That's all I need.
But it's 22 pages or 20 pages.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just for four.
And then I'm done. That's all.
$4? $4 though.
It's expensive. It's expensive, but it's the only way I'm going to read the story.
But if you do that, see, I go to DCBS. These fantastic people that give me 50% off.
And that's great when I used to buy the physical copies.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what to do. Like, once they're done, it just, you know, I don't know what to do with them. They're just sitting in my house.
You sell them and get rid of them.
I did, and I don't want
them
back.
Wait for the movie to come out, and then you're like, here, guys, take these off my hands for this.
It's just stuff in my house, and it just it take up too much room.
See, you sound more like an old man than I do.
You
call me an old man. I might be a man of the past, but I'm not old.
Yes, you are, because somebody come take your books away. Get off of my stuff! Get off!
This is... Do you know Valiant's going to be at the Atlantic City Comic Con?
Who the fuck goes to Atlantic City Comic Con? They still have the Atlantic City?
There's a brand new one.
Atlantic City?
Yeah, it's doacbc.com. Valiant's going to be there.
I'm not going to Atlantic City.
They have Charles Soule's going. Yeah, Bob Layton. Clayton Henry, some Valiant people are going to be there.
Get out of here. Atlantic City has a Comic Con?
Yeah. It's got...
Doesn't Prince have that song, Erotic City, Here I Come?
They have lots of... They have lots of celebrity guests and, like, special guests. Like, of course, like, Stan Lee and Kevin Smith and those kind of guys. But they also have, what's his name? The Reverse Flash actor, Tom Cavanaugh, is going to be there. Guys from like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff are going to be. Adam West is going to be there.
Oh, boo.
Grant Ward, the guy from S.H.I.E.L.D., is going to be there. But it's just weird. I had no idea. And the only reason I noticed it was because it was on Valiant's tour, like 2015 tour. Mac from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be there too. They have two Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. guys.
That's the guy that should have played Luke Cage.
That he would have been great. But I didn't know fucking clue.
I didn't know either, and I'm closer to Atlantic City than you are.
Michael Rooker's going to be there. Man, that's cool. Yeah. I don't know how they got these motherfuckers.
I don't
know. Because Comic-Cons are big money makers now, man.
They probably paid them, because remember, I went
to... Of course they, yeah.
The Little Philly one I went to, I mean, they do pay. I mean, I'm talking about they fly them in on first class, they send a limo to pick them up. Like, I mean, these type of cons, they're not the comic cons. I'm talking about the more of the celebrity and comic kind of comic cons. They do that to, like, to attract people to go.
The little the little sister from Arrow is going to be there.
Well, she's not that little anymore. I mean, she's grown now.
She's a child, though.
A child? She's like 23?
Oh. Yeah. Whatever. I'm excited that Reverse Flash would be there. I'm tempted to call up Tom and say, let's go up Friday, play some craps for about 6 hours, and then go to the convention in the morning and drive home. Be home by dinner on Saturday. No? You don't think that would work?
I don't think he'll do it.
No, Matt Kent. I don't see too many Valiant guys at
Comic. There's not many comic creators at all. It seems to be focused on.
No, it's probably just a
celebrity few. People cosplay.
No, I'm talking about Denver Comic Con. I was hoping.
Denver.
Yeah, Denver doesn't have. I don't see. Fred Van Lente is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see Mike Grell. Oh my God! There's my yearly sketch. Is not gonna happen. Ah!
Oh, Tom Scholey's gonna be at a Heroes Con.
I'm all over that.
You know it. Literally all over that. Like, he'll be in his lap.
I just don't understand this.
The thing. Only thing is the cost, man. His prices go up every year.
And you say that, but you still buy them every year.
Oh, man, I just.
He knows. You gotta buy it. You still gonna buy it.
That was price of what?
His sketches.
His commissions.
Oh, yeah, Tom's are expensive. The one I got of Fort Max, very, very expensive. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, man. You know, I do have a question for you, Mike.
Yeah.
How much do you spend on a roundabout way? What's the most you spent on 1 month of DCBS?
I don't want to say. I'll tell you offline.
Okay.
Because this is recorded and we're not going to edit it, so it's just. It's easier for me to tell you.
I said Jason Wood.
I'll tell you how much mine is.
Jason said 600, but it was like 1,000 for his one of his months.
Let's just say I blow the shit out of everybody that I know.
Exactly.
I don't know anybody. I really don't.
Well, you just made collected editions.
Bob Retall was close because he got a lot of statues and stuff that I do. But
why is it expensive, Mike? Because let's say you even did. Let's play games. Say you did have 200 comics a month. But that's only, let's say, $2 a piece. That's still $400, which is not $800. Like, I feel like the only way you can really get out of control is with omnibuses and statues.
Exactly. But I get that too.
Okay, there we go. Got it. Understood.
And variants. You get a few
variants. But let's say you get 200.
The variants too. Yeah.
Let's just say I get 220 comics. Let's just say figuratively, okay?
Yeah, figuratively.
A month. And then of those, pile on another 50 variants, okay?
Oh, damn. Which kind of variants? The $5 a piece variants?
Well, I'm on the DC variants every month. Like, these Convergence ones are killing me, man.
Are they regular price or are they more?
They're regular price, but multiply every comic by two.
I understand. Oh, I hear you, bro.
And yeah. I have done some others, like the 1 in 20s. So
god dang, Mike.
All right, and then you get
and then you throw in some of
motherfucker. You talk about me spending money on digital. My digital budget is nowhere near what the fuck you're doing over there. I don't even want to hear. I don't want to hear you talk about my digital nothing. I probably maybe spend. Maybe on digital a month, I probably don't spend any more than $100. You over there, you got a fucking factory going on over there. God damn it.
You're right, though.
But in all fairness, I'll just be brutally honest. Part of me seeking the job and going into engineering and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Was because I knew salaries and I was like, what do I love the most? I love comics.
Yes.
I want to buy fucking everything I want to buy and I don't want anybody to stop me.
There we go.
So what do I do? Is I And I knew this early on in life. I started.
No, you did two things. You did two things.
In high school, I started in high school.
I know, but you did two things though. Because there are plenty of people that have the salary, but their wives still won't let them buy shit they want to buy. So you did two things.
You married the right woman.
You married a white woman who let you who doesn't believe in trying to stop you from doing stuff.
I married my best friend.
That's right, exactly. And your best friend.
My best friend knew exactly who I
that
was.
That shit that you want to do.
What I was, and how much I love certain things.
There you go.
She loves me, and she knows that when I...
That's a soulmate right there.
She knows that, like, even when times got tough and I had to cut back, and I did cut back, that he's like, you can't stop. She's like... I would go cold turkey, and she's like, you can't. You got to get some to keep
your... that's why I got divorced. I can't do shit that. I'm serious. Listen, when you have somebody that don't support shit that you like to do, and all they do is just nyeh, all the time, that's not living. I can't be told what to do. I hate being told what to do.
I bought the Archie bundle, too.
The Archie
bundle. What? Of course you did.
I bought all fucking 40 covers or whatever.
And all across.
Wait, whoa. Back the fuck up.
Yes, he did.
Archie bundle. That's like, what, 4 books?
The Archie bundle? No, it's like 20-some covers.
Well, how? Of what?
Of Archie number 1.
Oh.
Don't you read previews?
But I don't read. I don't buy any Archie books, so I kind of just gloss over that
section. You miss out. Archie's good.
No, I read Archie books from time to time, but I don't generally. It's more reactionary. Like someone says, "Oh, hey, Afterlife with Archie was really good," so I'll grab it. But I don't.
Or the hood was fucking amazing.
What?
Or the hood? That was fucking amazing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's part of the Archie.
I was on the shirt. I haven't read it yet.
22 covers.
Holy shit! I didn't know you did that, Mike.
How can you not know the big ass box?
No, I knew he liked to buy lots of comics, but I didn't know he was so into the variants.
No, yes.
I used to buy all of the Valiant variants, every single one.
Well, the thing that changes my mind about variants is when they're the same price. So, like, the Archie covers are the same price.
Now, you don't
and then you log into DCBS, okay? And DCBS is like crack. They basically say, hey, if you buy our whole bundle, we'll give you 50% off. It's like, bundle this. And then I was going to like sit the Marvel out. But then it was like, you know what, Marvel? You buy the Marvel bundle, you get 50% off. And I'm like, okay, put that motherfucker on the bundle.
You motherfucker. I remember, listen, you lie on your podcast. I knew you were a liar.
What did I lie
about? I'm not
going
to get all the Marvel. I'm going to sit. This Marvel thing.
Did you listen to the latest Geek Brunch? I basically admitted. Don't.
Yeah,
don't,
I know you.
I admit it. I said when I say I'm cutting back, it's really it's like I'm ordering more.
It is a lie. It's a lie. It's a total lie.
We saw the good bundles they had for the Valiant bundle always, but for the new DC titles, like some of them were like 75% off or something.
For the convergence, what are you talking about? After
the new ones, after it, like the Prez, there was like a bundle of maybe what 18 comics, and some of them were the ones that like probably won't sell as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was a really good deal.
Saw that, right, Mike? Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Like, 18 comics for like $16 or something.
They show me those bundles, and it almost changes the whole thing of ordering, because like for example, the Vertigo bundle, I get like 80%, but when they start to bundle their entire line, I'm like, fuck it, I'm just gonna get the whole thing. It's just click there, bang, they're all there.
Yeah, I generally don't do it because I don't want to have paper comics laying around the house that I just don't.
You
sound like me.
No, of random series. Like, I don't want to have the first 3 issues of some random Vertigo comic that I only got because I did the bundle. But then when some of the titles stop interesting me, I go away from the bundle.
Oh, shit. You know what? I might do the bundle then.
Which one?
for the at least for the first month to see if I want these. Which ones I would want?
The DC ones, you mean?
Yeah,
that's a good deal to at least try. I mean, 17.6. It's better than going into Comixology and spending $3.99.
Yeah, bundle one is what, $6?
Well, you actually bundle it and then you try them and then you say, okay, I want to continue digitally with 5 of them or 10 of them.
Okay, yeah, bundle one, $6 for Batman Beyond, just
like. But bundle one's smaller than bundle two, though.
Yeah, some of the
yeah, it is.
Bundle two is pretty big.
Yeah.
The bundle two is the one that they really want people to try, and they're giving a super good discount. The other bundle is like a little more popular. The Valiant bundle continues. I'm telling you, it's so.
But I don't so do paper copies. I don't know what to do with these afterwards.
But lately they've been putting like all the cool statues that I want in the same fucking month, and then they'll put, and then all of a sudden you get the great omnibuses. Like who could turn down a Wonder Woman George Perez omnibus?
I did.
I can't. I love.
I turned down everything.
Well, for one thing, you know how much I love Wonder Woman. I mean, you see that shit on my wall all the time.
Yeah.
I love Wonder Woman. Like Con out west instead of out east.
I'm taking Christopher and Colin next month to visit their grandparents in Seattle. It'll be a nice trip.
Ah.
It'll be a nice week-long trip out to the Northwest. They haven't been out there for years.
I have been wanting to go to Seattle. And, man, it's just – there's only – if I go to Seattle, I give up Baltimore and I give up Heroes, and that's where I see my brothers. So yeah,
don't do that. Don't do that.
You can't give up those two cons. And Barb loves those cons. I know she'd probably want to go to Seattle, though, you is, so we might do it one year.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a beautiful city. This has been ordering comics talk. The most I've ever spent, I think, at DCBS in a month was like $460, maybe.
Do you see all the back issues I post a month?
Well, I know I don't buy.
That doesn't even include those.
I don't even know how to put my mind in. I love comics and reading them, but I don't even know how to put my mind to the scope of how much comics you get a month. I don't even think I can.
Just think of the Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse at the end.
Yes, I do.
Have an intervention, but I don't want one. It would make sense.
But I mean, this is monthly though. This is not like you just came across this one time. This is a monthly thing.
It's almost like the Bloodshot thing, right? You take away the nanites, and I feel like
how long is
no? My I don't ever gone. Want to see you. I don't ever want to see you without your comics.
Don't take away the nanites, man.
I don't ever want your nanites to go.
I'll be crushing pills and snorting them.
I just can't put my mind around the scope of how much you spend a month. Like I went nuts. When they had the bundle for with DCBS, when they had the 50-cent sale, and I went nuts when I got all them damn fucking Green Hornets and the Boys 1 month. And all these fucking comics came to my house, and I just was like, this is too much shit.
To do with this?
When am I going to read this shit? It's too much shit for me to even read. I read my regular shit, and then that stuff just sat in a box. And I tried to knock out little here and there. And then I got to the point where I just said, fuck it, I just can't do it anymore. And I just was done with it.
Transformers are worse. Transformers are worse, man. Like, they're so expensive, especially the import ones. That
oh, yeah.
Spent like $500 in the past 24 hours on
shit.
Three Transformers. So
God damn.
Think about that. That's crazy.
Insane.
I bought one in Japanese yen from Hobbylink Japan. It was 80% off. It still cost $200.
God damn.
That's the stuff that gets expensive. Those stupid ass Transformers. I feel like a child. But those add up more than comics ever would.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess unless you do statues and stuff, but
no, they add up. They don't add up to comics until
you know,
Myers.
You know who adds up is those people, and none of us do it, those people who are big into, like, Hot Toys. That shit is mental.
Ridiculous.
Like, buying the 17th Iron Man Hot Toys figure for $449, or buying the Hulk figure for $800, or the Hulkbuster figure for $900.
Everybody's got their own thing, though.
I know, but that's expensive.
I mean, there's people with the CGC things that too. They got to have 9.8s of, and they put like $400 into there. I saw somebody bidding on this is a recent comic book, and it just blows my fucking mind. It's Spider-Gwen, the first appearance of Spider-Gwen, CGC'd at a 9.9 at like over $2,000. I'm like,
what?
What the fuck?
And the
thing that surprised me is there were bids on there. Like, I could see if it's at zero, because some people put some stupid shit up there.
You got that right.
And put a ridiculous price.
For some imperceptible improvement over a 9.8, which only professional graders could notice, people are willing to... I mean, it's a commodity. I mean, but you're right. The like important thing is to stay within your limits.
Yeah, know what you can and can't do.
Yeah, some people have a lot of money to waste, and they enjoy it.
And some people buy that shit and can't afford it.
Some people buy the shit and should not be.
And then they have to sell that shit later on.
But those people are kind of living month to month, man. And I don't know how they do that.
I don't know either.
Because
they have no choice? I don't know.
I'm not dumb. I'm putting a lot of for my future so I can retire too.
Yeah,
so.
Well.
Lord, I mean, I want to retire at 55, but
you have $1 million in your house right now, without even the money you put away to retire with.
Well,
if you had to,
when you don't have children, it's easy to save up money.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of today's episode. Do you have any?
This episode ended 2 hours ago.
It did. And if you're still listening, that's absolutely amazing. Mike, you have lots of fans in Canada, by the way. People in Canada love you.
Why do you say that?
Well, I was talking to Christian on the Valiant Canadian page, and I reserved one of the Calgary Con exclusives that is this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reserved one, and then I actually said, no, make it two, and I'm going to give one to you at Heroes.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But and Christian said, Mike Myers has a lot of fans up here in Canada.
That's surprising.
And everyone What do you mean you only get Mike?
You don't want paper. It's paper. I'll buy you the digital copy. Don't worry.
I can't sell it later?
Paper. Nope.
You know what? Fuck you guys. I'm going.
I got something else for you. I got something else for you.
Going to Valiant Central.
He bought you a hooker.
Now, I did not turn down a prostitute, but I'm saying. He got me a comic too.
Not only that, but he got you two of them.
I'm buying you wings. The first night we're at Heroes.
That wings I'm going to eat and be gone. I can't sell the wings later.
So you want him to buy you something that you're gonna sell?
Yeah, that's what he wants. Yeah.
Yes.
I can't believe. Can we talk a little bit about the titty glass? Because I can't believe that you posted that and then the thing was removed.
He disappeared, didn't it?
What the fuck happened there?
I don't know.
Did you get Keith into trouble? Just by saying, Michelle, why can't he drink?
Oh,
why can't he drink out of a titty?
Do you think he was beaten?
I think he was beaten. I think he was beaten severely.
I don't think the titty glass exists anymore.
I think they broke him. I think she broke him. I think she smashed. She said, "You watch this, Keith," and then she slammed it down and broke him.
We should all buy some titty glasses.
There was something I was going to buy for Daryl, and I can't remember what it was.
I'm going to get him something worse. I'm going to get him a titty t-shirt.
Oh, I remember what it was. It was a beer koozie. You know, like a little thing that holds a beer can or beer bottle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With a knitted dick and balls hanging off the side.
Well, I gotta have dick and balls. I can't have titties.
I was trying to find one with boobies, but I haven't found one yet.
Oh.
I'm looking. What?
Well, you all saw the salt and pepper shaker that I...
Oh, yes. I saw it. That's brilliant.
That's pretty awesome. Huh?
Love it.
That's awesome. And your wife didn't beat you when you had it, right?
No, it came from my wife. What are you talking about?
See? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I'm all That's down. What I'm talking about.
Her mom's collection came to us.
See?
Yeah. Oh, my.
See, you let smut in your house all the time.
Smut is healthy.
Smut
I don't trust people
healthy.
Who don't swear.
Smut is
or
healthy.
Or like titties.
Exactly. Or if you like dick, you can like dick too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
Whatever it is smutty that you like.
It's okay.
Yeah, but indulge in it.
Well, we'll wrap up now. Thank you, everyone. And
where can they reach us at?
With this, they can reach us. Where can they reach us, Daryl?
I don't know. Oh, you mean email?
I was thinking the website.
Oh, you can go to TaylorNetworkOfPodcasts.com.
And we have a Facebook page, which is where you can put the entries for the Quantum and Woody Omnibus that's ending on the 20th, which is probably going to be like the day after this drops.
Wait, how do you do this contest again for people that don't know?
You just go, you draw your favorite Valiant character and post it on the Valiant Podcast Facebook page.
But by the time this day they hear this, it's going to be over.
No, they'll have one more day.
Oh, really?
It's ending at the end of the 20th, and this will probably go up the 19th.
I would like to.
If it doesn't, it's his fault.
We got a lot of entries. We got about 15 entries so far.
We need more.
Please like the page.
We should have hundreds of entries.
Yeah, especially because it takes. You could sketch anything at your lunch break.
We should have hundreds of entries.
And you to get an omnibus. That is awesome.
Right? I know. Everyone should be doing it.
Exactly.
Imagine the hours of entertainment on an omnibus is a lot.
And it's a good one too.
Yeah.
Need some shitty omnibus like Star Wars Volume 3 or something. No, I'm kidding.
And Twitter is at Valiant Podcast.
At Valiant Podcast. Mm-hmm. Mike Myers, Brunch, The Voice 123, and Chris Campbell 8 on Twitter. Please follow us. We'll follow you back. Maybe.
It depends.
It depends.
All right. Well, thanks, gentlemen. And we'll be back with more.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. You stayed awake.
Ooh,
that was good talk. Man, Imperium was the shit, and Bloodshot was the shit. These were good books.
Oh, they were both shitty books. I'm so glad I'm tired of lying. I hate those books. They're terrible.
I have to go carry up sleeping children, apparently, who fell asleep on the stairs. I have to carry them into their bed. So
on the stairs? Yeah. That's amazing.
I know. I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see it.
That doesn't sound like a comfortable place.
I'll send you a picture.
But they do it, though. They do it.
All right, Daryl, send me. We'll sometime this weekend.
I have a backup in case yours didn't work.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll email. I have it. I'm looking at it, recording it.
All right, gentlemen. I'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
All righty.
Good night, dude.
Bye.